Well, it's such an honor to be here. We're coming from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, which is probably about 2 hour and 45 minute, and then about a 30 minute tour through Wellsboro, come back up a different road, and then come back over here, past the church, and then come back and then park. So it's interesting to find this place. So we left at 6:30 this morning, praise God, and we made it. And so Josh and I are from the Ministry of Global Awakening, which is Randy Clark's ministry. Hopefully you're familiar with the ministry. But Josh and I have been with Global now exactly about 2 years now. And we've graduated from 2 years of the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, which is kind of like a sister or cousin school of Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry out in Redding, California with Bill Johnson. And so we are kind of the pioneering classes. We were the first ever class to go through this type of training. And now both of us have been asked into third-year internships where Josh now serves as Jamie Galloway's personal assistant, who's an associate with Randy Clark. Jamie was part of the first internship program with Global Awakening for 3 years. And then I'm actually right now serving as Randy Clark's personal assistant, traveling with him and booking all of his schedules and things like that. So it's such an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having us. And I just kind of wanted to give you just a little bit of background just so you know that where we come from and what we've been a part of, because what we want to do is we want to, because this is not our home, this is not our house, this is your house. And so we want to come and we want to be able to serve you guys to the fullness of our capacity to be able to see the fullness of fruit come from our time today. Amen. We want to see all of you trained and equipped in such a way to be able to experience the presence of God in a new level, but also to see his anointing flow through you guys wherever you go. That's the purpose of why we're here. We're not here for anything. We're here to give all that we have to you guys. Just to give you a little bit about my background, I'm 22 years old, and I was raised 20 years Southern Baptist. So, preacher's kid. Not just Southern Baptist, but preacher's kid. And so I never heard of the Holy Spirit for 20 out of 22 years of living. I never understood what a baptism in the Holy Spirit was, or I was taught what is called dispensationalism, where that the gifts of God, like miracles, signs, and wonders, don't exist anymore. Apostles and prophets don't exist anymore, and God only speaks through his word. That's it. Like, no visions, no dreams. There's no expectation of that. And so I lived in that mentality for 20 years, and then I was at Virginia Tech, going to school there as an engineering major, and started to see things in the Bible that wasn't satisfying to me, because I saw Jesus operating in things that I was taught don't exist anymore. And I'm like, well, how can you apply WWJD? I'm being serious. That's what I had. WWJD, evangelical background. That's what we had. You know, I didn't have the terms hunger or thirst. I didn't have pressing in. And so I began to do what I knew how to do, was read the Bible, pray, and memorize scripture. And so that's what I did. So I started memorizing about 5 or 6 verses a day. Literally. Like, I would walk to class and 20 minutes and 20 minutes back and memorize scripture, and I would run memorizing all these scriptures. So what was I doing? I was putting the word of God inside of my heart. And so then I began to hunger. I began to pray for hours a day, literally like 3 hours a day. And I'm talking about at a striving standpoint. I'm talking about like, oh God, like, and I had no revelation of sonship. I had no revelation of intimacy with God. It was all out of legalism and standpoint. But because my heart was pure and my motives of that I was hungering for God, God answered, filled me with the Holy Spirit and power while driving my car. I'm serious. Thanksgiving break 2005, I'm driving my car. We're worshiping to, you know, like Newsboys, Rebecca St. James, you know, Audio Adrenaline, if you ever heard of those bands. Ew! You know what I'm talking about. And like, and I never heard of speaking in tongues. Alright, I'm serious. I was taught that was of the devil. And so, I'm driving my car, and all of a sudden, I begin to shake under the power of God. I'm going, and I'm going, what is happening? And I begin to weep and to cry. All I can think about is healing. All I could think about was healing. And so that was a problem because I was leading in a youth ministry called Young Life. Has anyone heard of Young Life? Do you have that here? Okay. So I'm leading, and I get totally just messed up. I'm like, I'm telling all my leaders, I just had this experience with God, and all I can do is, all I want to jump and dance and sing. All I want to do is, like, I don't want to watch football anymore. We're top five in the nation, Virginia Tech. I didn't want to go to the football games anymore. I didn't want to watch TV. All I wanted to do was pray. And all my friends thought I was weird and whacked out, and every right they had to. So I had no idea, I had no paradigm of what I was experiencing. And so I transferred schools. Went to Bryan College for a semester. This is 2006. And I started reading this thing called The Elijah List. And so they're talking about, like, prophecy. And I'm like, prophecy? What is that? That happens today? Like, prophets? What do you mean prophets? Like, those died out. You know, they're no longer prophets. And so they're talking about, like, portals and angels. And I'm like, what in the heck? But I was hungry. And I'm like, I was intrigued. So I went to this conference in Columbia, South Carolina, March of 2006. And the only person I knew there was Heidi Baker. And because I heard this 4-minute clip on fireonthealtar.com, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs to the church, wake up! And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want, because someone had handed me a Smith Wigglesworth book. I'm just telling you my personal story, okay? And I'm like, dropkick the baby! Like, he punched people in the where the tumor was at. I'm like, this is so weird, but it's very intriguing. Because I started speaking in tongues, and so I knew someone had taught me wrong. Because I knew I didn't have the devil in me. So, it can't be of the devil. It's really not that. It's not rocket science. It's like, when you got light, darkness can't dwell. So, what the Bible says, either it's reality or not. And so, the other people that read that conference was Bob Jones, Heidi and Roland Baker, Gary Oates, Jack Frost, Randy Clark, and Danny Stane. And so I get there, and when I come in, again, I'm Baptist. Like, I feel lucky to get my hand up, you know, to, like, worship God, you know, before you get the look. He was like, better get that hand down. Yes, ma'am. You know, or whatever. And I see people up in the front, basically mostly adults, and they're waving flags. And I'm going, and in my heart, I'm like, that's God. Because the only time I saw people dancing were at youth conferences. And so I said, if adults have freedom, that means this is God. I'm serious. That's this is God. I'm serious. I was like, because I'm a bouncy person. Like, they nickname me Shifty. And so, because I just, like, jump around and move around all the time. And so if I'm like that 6 days out of the week and then I have to come to church and sit down in a pew like this, there's something wrong with that, because I can't be expressive of who I really am. And so I got delivered that week, praise God, didn't know Christians could have demons, and they can, and got prophetic words about evangelism and signs and wonders and stuff. Well, that's a problem when you've never had a paradigm that these things actually exist. And so I had to retrain my way of thinking about Christianity and about normal lifestyle over the past 2 years. And I want to show you where I've come out of. And this has only been in the past 2.5 years. So if you've been in the church longer than that, you've been saved longer than that, then you have probably a lot more experience than I do. But I might be sharing some stories with you that you might have not seen yet because of the things I've had to walk through. And because of what the season that I've been in for the past 2.5 years, and to go, I've literally been in overseas 5 times now, and I've literally have seen hundreds and thousands of miracles and healings in 2.5 years. In 20 years of living, I got zero of my friends saved. Trying to preach them into the kingdom. Kingdom wasn't a part of my vocabulary back then. It was, you know, preach them out of hell into heaven, and zero of my friends got saved. But by the grace of God, since the power of God has come into my life, I've helped lead over 100 people to the Lord. And that's true fruit. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. By all means, I want you guys to know my heart. And any testimony that I share about my life, it is not to my credit at all. It is only by the grace of God. But I know that by my life, I'm a living proof and example of the grace of God. Because I'm so undeserving of these things. But because of the blood of Christ and because of His Spirit poured upon me, I'm able to receive it. I'm able to receive that sonship. I'm able to receive, and now I am called worthy and deserving of these things. Because we're sons of the King. And so, but I want to share with you, like, you know, this didn't come like overnight. Well, some of the things I'm going to share you, it's been a process of walking with God. It's a process of being interrelational with God the Father. Like, I didn't understand how to even hear God's voice. I didn't know you could do that. And if I wanted to hear God, I had to read the Bible. So all I did for the past 2.5 years is to spend time with God for hours a day. Begin to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And out of intimacy with Him, I would hear His voice. I begin to have an atmosphere change not only in my mind, but in my heart, where I become the walking little Jesus on the earth, which is what you are. You're a little Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you know that in the Bible it says to imitate God? Did you know that imitate means to mimic? People are like, God's way out there. The thing is, and when people are doing things for God, and then they say, are you trying to be perfect? Well, yeah, God's perfect. It says to imitate Him. Yeah, I'm just trying to be obedient to the Word. So that's where you have to raise your expectation level. And so, there's a lot of different places that I would love to go this morning. There is a service tonight, correct? At 7 p.m. So I'm going to have some, Josh and I are going to probably tag team tonight. What we want to do is Randy's, his biggest call in his life is impartation. Is everyone familiar with impartation? Raise your hand if you're not. Okay, so everyone's familiar with impartation, laying on of hands for the transference of God's anointing. And that's a major call in his life, and it flows down through the ministry as Josh and I are spiritual sons of his. And, everywhere I go, I love to lay hands on every single person. And so that's what we want to do after this service, and not just to model something that's written in the Bible, but to have an expectation that something's going to change, that something's going to happen in your life, that you're going to get accelerated into a greater dimension of the fullness of God in your life, that things are going to be activated, gifts are going to be stirred up within you, God's going to fan the flame in your spirit to be able to know and understand and comprehend His love to a greater measure. Is that okay with you? Is that something that you guys would like? Okay. I'm just making sure, because we don't have to do that. But I think you guys would like that. You seem like a pretty hungry bunch of people. But let me ask you this. How many of you guys are satisfied? Good. Because sometimes that's a trick question. Good. Because I'm not satisfied either. You know what? I am sick and tired of church services. I'm not joking. It's awesome to come even as believers and worship God, and even for me to speak. I mean, that's awesome. But I could care less if I get to preach or if I get to speak. You want to know why? All I want is God. All I desire is Him and His fullness. All I desire is to be with Him, to be known by Him, and to be loved by Him. That is it. It's awesome if one of you guys gets healed today. It's awesome if one of you guys gets a revelation. But every day, whether it's in a building or not, it's in a church service or not, or it's in your bedroom or you're in the shower, every moment, every waking second, it's being conscious of who God is and His love for you. Every second of the day is walking step by step by step, whether you can see what's going to happen in the future or not, it's walking in such a realm and level with God where there is this radiating love and oneness with Him. Because when you get saved, it says in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that means is that when you get born again, you literally, your spirit was dead, now is alive, and now is in oneness with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So, because there's this oneness, but the thing is, the majority of the body of Christ do not understand that there is that oneness there. And they continue to believe in a mindset that they're still in this old lifestyle pattern of walking in the flesh, walking in sin, and that God is looking upon them with anger and hate. What they don't realize is that the blood of Jesus has washed over them. God has called you worthy and has put you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's called you his own. And we're able to have that relationship and intimacy with him. That's what righteousness means. In the Bible, righteousness means this: in right standing with God. So it says that you've obtained righteousness, not by anything that you've done, not by works, but by faith. Are you with me? We can read Ephesians if we want to. We can read these things. I just want to make sure you guys are with me. I'm not, you know, you can say amen, hallelujah, glory, you know, whoo, you know. Because this is the deal. Is I can talk to you about power and anointing. I can talk to you about prophecy. But the greatest thing that I've seen in my life is when I walk in that realm where I'm conscious that I'm in right standing with God, that I don't have to worry about whether I sin or not today, because the blood of Jesus washes over all things. Do I try and sin? No. But I have to understand that I'm imperfect. So my consciousness is that I'm focused upon him. The more that I gaze upon him, the more I become like him. The more that I read his word and I learn about his attributes and who his nature is, the more that I become like him. Did you know that you're supposed to be like God? You're supposed to. Why? 2 Peter says that we are partakers of the divine nature. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God wants to use you, not based upon your credentials, but because he's in you and he wants out of you. So how does that happen? Well, most people have a mindset that God will do it if it's his will. And that's why we have to read his word to understand what his will is. So we have this incredible verse that says, today is the day of salvation. And we know by the Greek word, I love, like, since I was raised Baptist, I love the word of God. Like, I'm so thankful. I wasn't bashing the, you know, Southern Baptist roots. They didn't understand. They didn't even know. My dad was taught wrong. It's not his fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was taught wrong. I had no ability to understand these things. But I love the word because there's so much depth to it. And I love getting into the Greek and the Hebrew to understand what the words are. But the word salvation, it means the word sozo. In the Greek, it's the word sozo. It means to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered, to be restored, to be prosperous. Well, that's a really heavy word. Because when it says today is the day of salvation, you can input any one of those words. Today is the day for prosperity. Today is the day for healing. Today is a day for deliverance. So we know by that every single time we approach somebody who has an illness or infirmity, it's God's will for them to be healed every single time. Forget about your past experience with praying for people for healing. It isn't dependent upon your past experience. It's dependent upon God's word. Now, is God's word eternal? Is it life-giving? Does it dominate your present reality? Does it? Because if you're not convinced that it is, the least likely the power of God is going to flow through you. And this is the reason why. The word believe, in our English, we have the word believe, and we think that believe means to have head knowledge about it. But in the Greek, it means to be fully convinced. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We think, oh, well, if we ask Jesus into our heart and we say it and confess it, we'll be saved. No, it means to be fully convinced that God, that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And there's a lot. So don't get what I'm saying. If you pray that prayer, I mean, yes. You have the fruit of God in your life, you're saved. Don't get me wrong. But we've limited the gospel to trying to get people to say a prayer after a sermon, then preaching the fullness of the gospel is that there are other requirements just by confessing that Jesus is Lord. It's believing in the heart that you're fully convinced that God has saved you, has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And so it's, that's what it, it's about understanding what the fullness of salvation is. It's understanding is that God, by his blood through the through Jesus on the cross, has not only created you a new spirit being, he's wanting to recreate your body and your soul. And we define soul as body, you know, your mind, will, and emotions. Are you with me? You guys seem familiar with this stuff, okay? So I want to lay a quick foundation to where I want to go. And so, because we want to go with everybody going there, we just don't want a few here and there. I want everyone to be able to gather in to go where we want to finish off at the end. But I went to, but when I got those prophetic words in 2.5 years ago, I was like, well, I've never prayed for someone to be healed, and I got all these prophetic words. How many of you guys have ever gotten a prophetic word? Cool. So it's like, woo, yay. And then you're like, I'm still here. Where's my heavenly visitation? Like, where's my throne room experience? Like, why can't I see angels yet? you know what I'm talking about. Anybody with me? It's like that prophet was wrong, or maybe that person was just learning, and that's their first time. Even though I've heard them give public words corporately, I'll just say they're still maturing. Okay? So I get these prophetic words. Now, I've never heard a teaching on prophecy. I don't know what you're supposed to do. So in my logical thinking, because I love thinking logically, because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit sometimes. I'm thinking, all right, well, if God said it, that means he meant it. And so now I have to go put myself in a position for him to do it. So what did I do? I went to Brazil on what's called the Youth Power Invasion. Sure, I spent a couple $1,000s, but I got this word about evangelism. And so what did I do? I signed up to be a preacher. Had I ever preached before? No. Why? Because God said it. It's not dependent whether or not I've done it. He said it. That's why I'm so thankful that I come from my background, because I had such a childlike faith nature coming from that background that when I first got in the prophetic, it wasn't that hard for me to grasp it. It was just believe God and that's it. No buts about it, because there's no buts about it in the Word. So there's no buts about it in our ways of thinking. And so the thing was is that when I got accepted to be a preacher, they told me I would be leading healing services. And that's kind of hard when you've never prayed for someone to be healed. And so I did a lot of prayer and fasting that summer. oh God, what did I do? And so I got down there. I got my first word of knowledge. I guess remember words of knowledge? You know, I had a pain in my side during worship, and I'm like, ow, what the heck? What's going on? And I'm like, wait a minute. So I'd read this ministry training manual from Global Awakening twice. I listened to 5 messages, 4 by Randy Clark and 1 by Bill Johnson, The Power of the Testimony, 10 times each. I'm serious. Like, that's all I knew to do, is just listen to these messages, get them memorized, because I had no idea what I'm doing. I had no understanding of how to operate in the anointing. But I'm just in praying and fasting. Oh, God. And I get down there, I get my first word of knowledge. 4 people come up and they respond to it. And the first girl, she has Crohn's disease. I didn't even know what that was. It was a stomach condition. I pray for her for like 30 seconds. And I'm like, okay, step 1. All right, interview them. All right, step 2. Diagnosis 3, prayer selection 4, pray for effect 5. There's this 5-step prayer model. And I'm in my head, I'm doing this as I'm like, you know, I'm doing the model. And so I'm like, all right, you know, pray 30 seconds and ask how the condition's doing. Okay. So I pray by faith, and I said, how's the pain? She goes, it's completely gone. And I'm going, no, seriously. No, it's okay. I won't feel offended. You know, just let me know how the pain level is. She's like, no, I had no pain whatsoever. And I'm like, what? I still don't get it. I prayed for the 3 other people. All the pain left. And I'm going, that's it? That's all you have to do is just pray and God will do it? Well, that's easy. And so that's all I've been doing ever since. I'm serious. This is my walk, my story. After I've talked to other people, it doesn't work that way with all people. So John Wimber, it took him 1,000 people to pray for before he saw his first healing. And it's amazing what the generals in the body of Christ, the mothers and the fathers that have been paving a way through the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, even 90s, paving a way for another generation to come up and literally shoot and excel past where they've gone. And I'm so thankful for them. And so I preached for the first time on that trip, six times over six nights. The first night, I was so stinking nervous. And so we preached, and about a church about 250, we saw 90 physical healings, including two cases of epilepsy, breast tumors. We saw over 50, 60 healings and deliverances. And by the third night, we had over 450 people there because the power of God was operating so smoothly. So I got thrust into the healing ministry and into the anointing like that two summers ago, just two summers ago. And so I'm so thankful for just that. I mean, I don't have to do anything. And it was amazing because once you step into it, I knew that this was my calling. This was my gifting. This was my anointing. And it's been walking in ever since by faith. But what I want to talk to you about is how to co-labor with your prophetic words. Because the thing is that, like I said before, a lot of people get prophetic words and they wait on God for him to do it and they pass their time and they never happen. And so because of that, an offense is created in the heart towards God because there's this trust that happens in the heart because God said it, but then he didn't do it. And that makes me angry and mad and hurt because he didn't come through. And I feel like that some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys have been in that place where you get a word from God and he doesn't show up in the time that you need him. And because of that experience, it's hindered your walk with God. It's hindered your relationship with the Lord because there's a distrust. When the reality is that God did say it, but because we haven't been equipped and trained in the body of Christ to be able to understand how to co-labor with those words, to literally birth them into existence. And I'm going to prove that through the word. Open up the word to 1 Kings to me, for me. 1 Kings 17. I want to share what the Lord taught me. I was spending some time with the Lord. Some people like to soak. I'm not a big soaker. Like, I love putting some worship music on and pacing. I pace the floor speaking in tongues. Sha-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. I just love it. Josh is a soaker. He can just lay down. I fall asleep. And so I was doing that one day, just worshiping Jesus, just getting into his presence. And this is like probably October, November of last year. And I heard him so clearly. And he said, Timothy, at the age, I'm 22 now. My birthday's in December. He said, Timothy, at the age of 22, you're going to experience twice as much as you've experienced in the past 2 years. This year is a year of double portion. And I'm like, kill, you know, whoo, yay, get a word from God. So then I'm like, all right, well, what does that mean? That means that everything I've experienced, I have to have an expectation that God's going to do twice as much of that. And so then I was worshiping the Lord. I was spending time with the Lord New Year's Eve going into 2008. I turned 22 on December 27th. And so on the 31st that night, I spent like 5-6 hours just worshiping Jesus. I was watching The Call on God TV. What was happening in IHOP in Kansas City. And I began to read 1 Kings 18. And the Lord began to speak to me out of there. And I was reading about how, well, first in 1 Kings 17, and verse 1, it says, I'll let you get to chapter 17, prophet Elijah. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. So by prophetic word, Elijah is able to shut the heavens over an entire region. Now, if you're king over that nation, that sucks. I mean, I'm sorry if that word offends you, but I mean, if you're a king and you're supposed to provide for your people and you got no rain, that's hard because all your whole resources are destroyed. All your farmland, everything, you got no rain. So you think Ahab got a little bit of bitterness towards Elijah? The prophet comes to you, you're like, oh, give me a word. And he says, I'm going to shut the rain over your nation. Bam. And now all the people are mad at Ahab because he's supposed to be the king and providing for his people. So you think there's a little bit of offense. I want to share. This is the prelude to 18, to chapter 18. So if you go on to 18, verses 1 through 2. So, you know, Ahab is ticked and he's trying to find Elijah because he wants to kill him. Why? Because he's destroying his kingdom. Okay. This is reality. I mean, just think of a prophet like came into here and was like, shuts the rain up over Pennsylvania. And like the governor was here. Don't you think a governor would have an issue with that prophet? Okay. There'd be some issues. And so verse 1 and 18. Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. So 3 years of this. If you think you're in a drought after like, you know, just for a couple of days, think about 3 years. Saying, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the face of the earth. So that's the next prophetic word that God gets from Elijah. It's the prophetic word. And it says, I'll send rain upon the land if you go yourself to King Ahab. So that's a pretty risky business for Elijah because he already knows that Ahab is trying to kill him. Okay, right? I mean, how about if you get a word from God, it says, go into Pakistan and go find Osama bin Laden and go tell him that I'm going to send rain. Okay, just to get a glimpse of what God was telling Elijah. So I don't want to go and read the whole entire thing, but basically he goes to King Ahab and he doesn't tell him that God's going to send rain. It says, let's go to verse 17. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you, you troubler of Israel? He said, and Elijah said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, if we read in verse 1 that this is the conditional prophetic word. If you go to King Ahab and present yourself, what? I will send rain upon the land. Now, did you just notice what Elijah just did? He just told them to go get the 900 prophets. It was nowhere in the prophetic word. So guess what happens? He gathers them all. And we know the story. They all gather the altars. They're crying out to their gods. Nothing happens. Elijah gets all the buckets of water, pours them over 4 times, and then calls down fire from God. The fire of God comes, burns it up, and then Elijah specifically kills every single one by the sword. Every single prophet. Notice how that wasn't in the prophetic word. Is this making sense? Because we're trying to get to what? The promise from God. Which is what? Rain. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm like, okay, God, why are you telling me this? Because this has nothing to apply, because I'm not about to go call 900 prophets and then call down fire from heaven. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord was like, notice the terminology. We refer to revival or the outpouring of God's Spirit to the latter rain. So what are we contending for? We're contending for the rain of God's presence, right? I mean, that's what everyone is wanting. We want revival. We want God's presence. We want His outpouring. That's what so many ministries like Bethel or Global Awakening or IHOP or any, you know, we want the presence of God. So what do we want? We want the promise of God's Spirit. Now, after this happens, Elijah hears the sound of rain. Okay? And so, excuse me. Maybe that is not it. Yeah, he did say that in verse 41. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the roar of a heavy shower. Why? He was hearing in the spirit, but he also had a prophetic word. So he knew he did the requirement that God had him do, which is show himself to Ahab. Okay? And then he knew that God was going to do it. He had an expectation that God was going to do it. So Ahab went up and went in verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go back seven times." Now notice, he's not waiting for God to send the rain. That was a prophetic word. The prophetic word is go to King Ahab and I will send rain. Elijah went to King Ahab. He's not sitting on the ground waiting for God to send rain. What does he do? He goes up to the mountain. He puts his head between his legs in a birthing position. And then he goes, tells his servant, because he has the expectation level that God is about to do what he just said. And he says, go look. Look into the future. Look and be expected. See the kingdom. Look and see where it's at. He goes the first time and says nothing like that. Nothing. He can't see anything. And Elijah sends him back seven times. So a total of eight times this servant goes. And on the eighth time, he sees that. And as I'm reading this, the Lord tells me 2008 is the year of contending for the promises of God. 2008 is where you'll see the promise of the latter rain. Now, I'm not like a major prophet. Like, I don't have my name on the Elijah list. I don't have many opportunities to even speak. But I knew this was a personal word for me because of what he had spoken to me about double portions. And that he was about to teach me how to co-labor to see that which God told me, bring it into existence. And so I was so excited when we saw Lakeland start happening. Because I wasn't sure if that was like a corporate word or if that was just a personal word. But I really felt like that's the first fruits of what we're seeing in 2008. And I'm, 2008 has, the number 8 has a lot of prophetic meaning about new beginnings and transition and things like that. And it's amazing because in verse 44 it says, "It came about at the seventh time that he said, 'Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea.' And he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so the heavy shower does not stop you.'" And the Lord showed me is that when you get a prophetic word, you're not supposed to wait on it. You're supposed to call it forth into existence. That's what Elijah did. He birthed the promise of God into existence. Does this make sense? Okay. So we have this amazing prophetic word in this New Testament covenant. If you go with me to Ephesians. Chapter 1. If you look through the epistles, you look through the New Testament, we have so many stinking good prophetic words. Like, really good words. Like, you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Watch this. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." How many of you are experiencing the fullness of every spiritual blessing? So what are you waiting for? If you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6, if you read Ephesians with that mindset that you are placed already up there with Christ in heavenly places, which is what the kingdom, the realm of God's domain, if that is where you live and that it is at hand right now, Jesus' main message was not the gospel of salvation, get saved, it was the gospel of the kingdom. The realm in which God lives, which is his throne, Revelation 4 and 5, is at hand right now. Literally right now, we can access and enter into the promises of God. We can access and enter in to the heavenly places that is where God lives right here, right now, not waiting till you die. But if you don't have a realization of that and you don't have an expectation of it, how is that really going to happen? God can sovereignly move. He can put his hand upon someone. He can pour out his favor. Like, you know what? I know it was a grace and a sovereign thing that I got baptized in my car. That I didn't deserve it. I didn't even know what it was. I never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God does that sometimes. But other times, it takes co-laboring with God. And that's why he's put you on the earth. Because he wants to work through you and with you. Why? Because it is what? Family. Which is what? Relationship. And so, God didn't create us as robots. Or we just do whatever he says. there has to be a choice that's made that's activated by faith. And so most people are waiting for God to pour out an evangelistic anointing so they can go to the nations and see signs, wonders, and miracles. A lot of people are waiting for God to pour out the financial blessing that they received, that millions of dollars. And I've gotten those words too, okay? So I'm saying, yeah, I'm with you. And you know what I'm doing? Shaka ba 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 shikirobo. God, in the name of Jesus, you is what you have said, and I call it forth in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that you are God of abundance and overabundance. God, that I am your son, I am a prince in the kingdom, because you're a king, and that means I'm royalty by blood. Are you? Because that's what my Bible says, is that we're all royalty. And that's what I've been doing. And so, and I want to share some experiences that I've had with this. This year, in the first 4 months of 2008, I experienced double of everything I've experienced in the past 2 years. Miracles, signs, wonders, salvations, overseas trips. Because God taught me that it was about, so what did I do? I took a season in time where I would pray in tongues for 3 hours a day. Because the Bible says this in Jude 20, that build yourself up in your most holy faith by what? Praying in the Spirit. The literal Greek for the word build means to build a tabernacle for God to come and dwell in, which is your spirit. So every time you pray in tongues, you're building up your spirit man to expand and to widen so that God can come in and dwell. That's a heavy word. That's a really good promise. And so I took a season where I would just do that. And by the 21st day, it was so thick with the glory of God. I literally could feel it progressively throughout the days on my ankles, then my legs, then my waist, like the Ezekiel's river. I was experiencing this literally. And I didn't see it with my natural eyes, but in the spiritual dimensions, you know what I'm saying? And so I've said a lot of things about, you know, co-laboring with prophetic words to see the happen. So we want to see miracles. We want to see healings. We want to see signs and wonders. We want to grow in the prophetic gifting. But I really want to tie this in to the fact that go after your prophetic words. Go after the big stuff. Go after the anointing of God. But the whole purpose is so that you can go after the heart of God. The whole purpose is so that you can grow in the love of God. That you can get so full and thick with the measure of the love of God that you can go and love other people. And out of that love, out of that compassion, the anointing flows. Miracles flow. Healings flow. Prophetic words flow. And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You're going to say, you know what, can I just share something with you? I see this on your life, and I just want to bless you. I think you're an amazing guy, woman, whatever, child. I think you're just amazing. That's a prophetic word. And you just don't have to wrap it up in spiritual lingo. And I really feel like that Ephesians is a key book for this house. I really believe that the book of Ephesians, that God is going to take and give revelation over the book of Ephesians and understanding who you are in Christ. The biggest transformation that I've seen in my life is not when a deaf ear opens up. It's been when the Father speaks from heaven and says, you're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It's the still small voice that says, Timothy, I just think you're the best. Which I am. I'm his favorite. How about you? Now, it's awesome that I've gotten a revelation of that. But I'm just going to warn you, you can't take my revelation and expect the same fruit. A lot of people hear a lot of major speaking, especially in renewal and charismatic. They go and flock to the conferences, and they can talk the talk. They can quote Bill Johnson and Heidi Baker and Randy Clark, but they have no evidence of fruit. Why? Because you're taking someone else's revelation without the personal encounter themselves. Sorry, is this the way it works? So I've tried it. I've been up here preaching other people's messages, and then nothing happens. And so what through my life and what I've experienced is that the more that I've gotten into his presence, the more transformation that happens in my own heart, transformation of my own mind, that releases the fruit of the gospel of the kingdom. And I'm grabbing like three of them and pulling them into one right now. So I'm sorry if it's confusing to you, but I really feel like I want to release it because we don't have a whole weekend to do this teaching. And so it's kind of hard when you come into a place and you're like, there's different places that you feel like the Lord wants you to go and just kind of grab it on. So is this making sense? Is this helpful? Okay. Because it works the same way as I used to cry out for intimacy with God. Oh, God, God, I want to be intimate with you. So that's a pretty good relationship, right? With somebody. I'm up to Josh and, if I had a wife, this won't work. If I want to be with a wife, I'm like, oh, God, I want to be intimate with you. And that's all you do. Oh, I just want to be intimate with you. And then she comes over and they're like, no, I just want to be intimate with you. That doesn't work, does it? But out of my heart cry, because I didn't understand what intimacy was. I was raised in a religious structure that it was performance-based love towards God. And that means you have to do something in order for God to love you. You got to read your Bible 30 minutes a day. You got to read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday to get through the Bible in a year. You know what I'm talking about. You got to memorize the Roman roads. We've got some evangelical background. When I ever hear that laughter, I'm like, yes, someone knows what I'm talking about. You know, and so for months, I'm serious, for months in my first year at the school, I would be crying out to God, oh God, oh God, oh God, I want to be intimate with you. And then finally, as I'm doing this on the ground, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. crying out for 2-3 hours a day. I paid a price. But I'm saying, oh God, I want to be intimate with you. And I heard, I don't want to even say it's the audible voice of God, but it was so clear. It's like, you can't have what you're asking for. I immediately wanted to rebuke that thought, because I'm like, asking you shall receive. So I'm like, that's not biblical. But I knew it was the sound of the Father. And I was like, why not? And he says, because you won't open up. And then and I'm like, I stopped my, travailing. And I'm like, what do you mean? He began to show me throughout my life, through my childhood and life up to that point, 21 years, that every person that I had opened up my heart to, where I wanted to build a relationship with, whether it was the opposite sex or was it with family members or friends, at some point in those relationships, they had come in and abused my area, not physically, but emotionally or even with rejection. And so I had unforgiveness in my heart towards them. And because of I hated the feeling of being hurt, I put a wall up and I said, I'm not going to allow anybody else into my sphere because I can't stand being hurt. And the Father said, I can't be intimate with you because you won't open up. And he absolutely broke me right there in my room. And I began to weep for hours as he washed over me. He washed over this love over me. And he said, I can't father you until you learn how to be a son. And I said, okay, God, do whatever it takes, because I don't care if I ever see a miracle ever again. I don't care if I ever get a prophetic word or ever I prophesy. I don't care if I'm ever used by God ever again. All I want to know is you. And I don't want just head knowledge. I want to literally be known by you and to know you. That's what Christianity is all about, people. And some of you in here have had people hurt you in the past. And you've been crying out to God and asking God, why have you not answered my prayers? Why have you not performed your word, your prophetic word? And I'm here to tell you is that he's ready and willing to do it. And the ball is in your court. And it's not about necessarily travailing to get it done. It's the measure of how much you're willing to open up your heart to him with your love and say, God, I am so sorry. I ask for forgiveness right now for building up a wall against you because of my past experience with other people. And as soon as I began to forgive those people, things just started opening up. And the thing is, because he told me, he's like, you don't trust me. And that's the worst thing to hear from God, is that you don't trust him. Because he's the most, because this is what he told me. He said, I'm the most trustworthy father in the entire universe. I will never harm you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. But if we don't open up our heart to God, these things that we're looking for, it flows out of that. It flows out of intimacy with the Father. It flows out of intimacy with Jesus. It flows out of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And it's this. God, I don't care. It's awesome. I want to see healings and miracles because you've told me to do that. It's your commandment. But it first says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And so first, it's not just loving God. We all love God here. Everyone here loves God. But there are measures that each one of you have of the experience of being loved by God. You were not born and you were not created to do good works as first and foremost. That's biblical. You're not born and created in this universe to get people saved. Number one, it's biblical. That's what we're born to do. But the most primary thing that you were born and created for was to be loved by him. Number one, he created you first and foremost for him to love you. How many of you are parents in this room? So, if you have kids, and they came up, and then you immediately put them to work, and then if they don't obey you, and that's your primary focus, how many of you know that's not your primary focus? Your children were born out of a love relationship, and it doesn't really matter what your kids do, you're always going to love them. You're always going to love them. How much more the Father in heaven? When he created you, he had you in mind before he even created the world. It's just to love you. And some of you in here have never had that experience. You've never known the love of God that overflows your whole entire being. You feel it shift in the atmosphere? Because God, every time we talk about who he is and what he's done, it opens up the atmosphere to him to come and do it. I'm not sharing these things and sharing my life story to say, hey, look at me, you know, where I'm going. It's like, no, it's an invitation for you to come in and to have the same experience, for you to go and shoot off where you need to go. And tonight we're going to talk about, we'll probably do some, prophetic activation and words of knowledge and things like that. But I really felt like that this was a word for this house, is the Lord is taking you into a season of extreme love encounters. And so I want to tell you, get the tissue boxes ready. And in that, there might be some deliverance, be some inner healing. But the biggest thing is this, is that when this happens, it is the core foundation of who I am. And I know we're running, it's right about the 12 o'clock time, so I want to honor the house and your guys' time. But I want to give you two nuggets before I end this message. Because it's not just about sharing with you where God wants to take you, because that's a prophetic word, but to give you keys to be able to excel and keep growing after Josh and I are gone. Because it's just not cool just to come in and bada bing, bada boom, and then leave. It's, no, we want to see harvest. We want to see continuous fruit coming from you guys throughout the earth. Amen? And that's why I want to share it. It's birthed out of a love relationship with God. And it's not necessarily birthing it like Elijah. It's this. Understanding that he's already given it to you. Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, past tense, known. Again, he already has given us every spiritual blessing, which is past tense. according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Did you notice that it says we already have obtained the inheritance? People have put that inheritance to a time frame that is beyond when we're not here on the earth. That it's after we die. Have you heard that in, you know, theology? Did you know that if my dad and mom died today, I receive the inheritance now? You can't receive an inheritance after you're dead. Think about it. If I die today, I don't get any inheritance. Because my parents haven't died yet. And I'm already dead. I can't use it. How many of you know Jesus already died? And guess what he paid for? Our inheritance. What is your inheritance? The fullness of Christ. All right, if you don't believe me, Ephesians 3. Verse 14, I'm going to read it. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. That is another verse that talks about the tongues, building up your spirit, man. It literally is the word dunamis, which is dynamite. Where we get our word dynamite. It literally creates that power within your inner man. 17. What's the whole purpose? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's a better prophetic word than Elijah got than rain. The fullness of God. Forget the double portion. That's Old Testament. How about the fullness of Christ, heaven on earth? I receive a prophetic word that talks about double portion because I'm like, yay, blessing. But there's still more. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you're saying that over me. But I know there's more. God, I thank you that I just saw a deaf ear open up, a blind eye open up. Thank you, I got to sow into someone's heart. Thank you, I got to open up that door for that person who was handicapped. Thank you so much that I got to buy that person's groceries. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I was able to prophesy over my waitress. But there's more. There's you. The fullness of you in my life. And that's what I need, and that's what I'm desperate for. And it's all about his presence and the person of Christ. It's not about coming in here to a worship time on Sunday services, which I love getting together with the family of Christ. I said that statement, which I'm tired of church services. I'm tired of religion and form and rule. I'm ready for God and his fullness. That's what we're asking for. Even when I go into global services and we do conferences, I'm like, it's so awesome to get equipped and get trained and to worship God. But I do so many services. It's just like, there's got to be more. There's got to be such a greater expectation level for his love and his kingdom to invade our lives. And it's about getting into his presence every day, whether it's a minute or 2 minutes, whether it's 10 minutes or 20 minutes. It's not legalistic. It's getting into his presence. But watch this. When you're in his presence and you're worshiping him, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means you're in the very throne room of God where there's angels all around you worshiping Jesus with you. There are lights and thunderings and clouds and rainbows. There's a sea of glass. And it's all activated by faith. And so when you're conscious of that realm around you, you begin to experience the very glory of God. And when you're in that glory, his love begins to pour over you. His love begins to infiltrate your being. And that's where transformation happens, is that when you literally get into the very substance of who God is, it begins to permeate those things that are not which of God. And so when I'm in that presence, I begin to thank him of who he is. And I consciously know that I'm being changed and transformed every moment that I'm in his presence. I'm not there to get anything. I'm there just to be. When you're in that presence, what you're getting is you're getting baptized. And this is going to lead into our impartation, because I'm telling you, we need the true fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful that I get to shake and bake every once in a while. I'm so glad I get to get overwhelmed. But there is a greater baptism, I believe, that we can experience because we're not operating in the fullness of God. So what I mean by that is this. The word baptism is the word baptizo in the Greek. It means to be submerged or to be dipped repeatedly. So cool, we just get dipped in God a lot. But it also means this. It means to cause religious experience, including special manifestation of God's power and presence. That's what it means. Strong's Concordance, you can look it up. I've said it a lot, so that's why I know it. But it also means this. It means to pickle. So look at this. A cucumber gets submerged in vinegar. It gets twisted on, and it has a season of soaking. And guess what comes out? A pickle. What happens during that process? Transformation. The literal DNA structure, the very shape, the very size, the very substance, the very taste, the very smell changes. It's the same terminology as us getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is how it happens. This is how transformation happens. Jesus was transfigured in Matthew and Mark, or Mark and Luke, where it's the word transfigured in our English. It's this Greek word metamorphismo, where we get our English word metamorphosis. And this is what it describes, what happens with a caterpillar comes into a cocoon and comes out, what? A new creation. So Jesus had this transfiguration experience where his entire body was glowing with the glory of God. There's two other times that the scripture is used, and it's to us. It's used in this, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, metamorphismo, by the renewing of your mind. How do you get transformed? Renew your mind. The second one, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says in verse 17 that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But it also says in 3:18 that as we behold the Lord as in a mirror, face to face, going from glory to glory, it says, while looking at him, being transformed. It's that word, metamorphismo. As we gaze upon the beauty of our God, as we behold him in our time in his presence, we begin to behold him. And as we behold him as in a mirror, we begin to realize that we begin to look like him. We begin to smell like him. We begin to renew our minds in that presence. When we are conscious upon him and his word and what he's done for us and what he says who we are and what he's going to do with us, that begins to change our thought processes, where we literally see transformation in our heart, soul, and body. Do you see that correlation? That's deep stuff. The whole purpose is get in the presence of God, get his love on you, get him in you, and in that process, you're going to renew your mind. You're going to change the way you think. That's the whole purpose of Bill Johnson's message, Repent for the Kingdom of Heaven is at Hand, or his book, Transformation of the Mind. It's changing your mind to be able to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, just fruit, his presence. His presence. And I want to encourage you guys in your own life, whatever happens today, whatever happens next week, keep contending for more of his presence. Keep contending, not out of a striving standpoint, but God, I thank you that you love me and I thank you that I can experience your love. But oh God, I want more of you. I want to know more of the depths of your heart. I want to know understand the depths of your kingdom and of the heavenly places. I want to understand the fullness of who I am. Because I want to love you and I want to fulfill the potential of what I have on the earth. I want to do amazing things for you. And I want to be like Elijah, who didn't just wait. I want to contend and I want to be violent towards the kingdom of God. Like in Matthew 11:12, I want to be violent for the things of God for the rest of my life. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 99. The promises of God are yes and amen. Every single time. And so I want to encourage you with that. I hope that's not heavy. I hope it's encouraging, but it's I want to give you some meat to give you to equip so that when this time is done, whatever happens, we're so thankful, but we're always contending for more. We're never satisfied. But our heart and our foundation is intimacy with God, intimacy with the Father, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, building a relationship with Him, but then continuing to step out by faith. And we'll talk a little bit more tonight about how to step out of our comfort zone to be able to see healings and miracles. I'll share stories of some of the things that we've seen throughout just not only this country, but in the nations to encourage your faith and also to see you guys equipped in miracles, signs, and wonders. But I really feel like I wanted to build this foundation of these things. Amen.